Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back with me, Amanda. We will accompany you for the next 50 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segments to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with news. And stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo ensures the socialization of community preparedness training to deal with disasters. Indonesian President Joko Widodo oversees Sukamahi Dam development in Bogor. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo directly reviewed the community preparedness training process in dealing with the disaster that took place in Pandeglang District, Banten, on Monday, February 18 morning. The event was carried out at Panimbang Jaya 1 State Elementary School, Panimbang Sub-District, Pandeglang Regency, participated by children guided by Disaster Preparedness Cadets Tagana, Indonesian Ministry of Social Affairs. During the event, President Joko Widodo has also met with 7,000 students and residents in Panimbang Square. In his remarks, the president said that he wanted to ensure that all communities had the ability to anticipate disasters. In addition to saying directly the process of educating children and residents, the president also wants to ensure that the activities run correctly.
Yang pertama saya ingin melihat mengenai kesiapan anak-anak.
I want to see the readiness of children and villages in dealing with disasters. As we know, our country, Indonesia, is crossed by a ring of fire, so that many areas are prone to earthquakes, tsunamis, floods, landslides, and other disasters. Indonesian President Joko Widodo further called the Disaster Preparedness Cadets and the National Disaster Management Agency to continue disseminating information on how to deal with disasters. In the future, disaster-prone provinces are also a priority for disaster preparedness training program. The Community Preparedness Education Program in Pandeglang has been carried out since February 15 and is divided into two activities, namely Tagana Entering Schools and Disaster Alert Village. Tagana Entering School involved 5,775 people, while the Disaster Alert Village involved 420 residents and community leaders in 7 sub-districts. Presidential candidate Prabowo Subianto said that if he is elected as Indonesian president for the 2019-2024 term, he would take stern actions against companies who cause environmental destruction. It was remarked by Prabowo at the second round of presidential debate in Jakarta on Sunday, February 17. Escorted by Antara, Prabowo told for decades large companies in many regions in the country have violated regulations and left their waste unmanaged. Prabowo pledged that he would tighten the requirements of environmental assessment impacts and become more selective in issuing licenses. Prabowo is also committed to establishing a clean government who will not tolerate environmental polluters if he wins the election. One of Prabowo's programs is that reorganization of Ministry of Environment and Forestry. He would divide them into two separate ministries, namely Ministry of Environment and Ministry of Forestry. Prabowo said that Ministry of Forestry must monitor companies so that their activities will not violate environmental laws. The reorganization and development of Bengkulu Port by PT Pelabuhan Indonesia 2 Persero, or IPC or Pelindo 2, was appreciated by Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla. As quoted by Antara, Vice President Yusuf Kalla in his press release received in Bengkulu on Sunday, February 17, said, "If the plan to develop and reorganize the Bengkulu Port can be implemented successfully, the Bengkulu Port project would be an example for other regions because the Bengkulu Port has coal-fired power plants and special economic zone. In addition to power plants, the port is also supported by other facilities such as terminal, pier, and appropriate information and technology system." Director of Operations of IPC, Prasetyadi, accompanied Yusuf Kalla to observe the condition of IPC's branch of Ba'ai Island Port. Prasetyadi explained that the improvement of port services, which is supported by digital system and port development, shows the commitment of IPC to support government's program, encourage Indonesia to become the world's maritime capital, and boost local economy. The Indonesian government has formulated a number of strategies to support the economic growth in the period of 2020-2024 through manufacturing sector. There are three policies which have been formulated, namely increasing productivity by improving labor skills, boosting the competitiveness of manufacturing export, and strengthening the strategy of upstream industry or industry whose activity is processing raw materials to be half-processed goods. As quoted by Antara, Indonesian Industry Minister Erlangga Hartarto in Jakarta on Sunday told that the program aims to create sustainable economic development with a baseline growth value of 5.4%. According to Minister Erlangga, the strategies must also be followed by the next target. The initiative implementation of the Making Indonesia 4.0 program is perceived to be able to improve three aspects of which can support the growth of economy, namely the gross domestic product, the contribution of manufacturing industry, and job opportunities. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian State-Owned Enterprises Minister Rini Sumarno suggested the conversion of crude palm oil CPO into biodiesel in Italy. Based on the report of Antara, Minister Rini Sumarno in Palembang, South Sumatra on Sunday said the suggestion had been discussed with the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources recently. Minister Rini added that later the government would make a contact with Italian oil and gas company called Eni S.p.A. regarding the conversion of the crude palm oil and the development of eco-friendly refinery, which are expected to be completed by 2021. So far, there are two refineries which have been the focus of Pertamina for the eco-friendly refinery project, namely the Plaju refinery in Palembang and the Dumai refinery in Riau. The Coconuts Producing Regional Governments Coalition will hold the third International Coconut Festival in Karangasem, Bali in September 2019. As reported by Antara, head of the Coconuts Producing Regional Governments Coalition, Nelson Pomalingo, in his press release received by Antara in Gorontalo on Sunday, said the richness of natural beauty, cultural beauty, and natural resources of Bali are the factors that support Karangasem to be the host of the event. Nelson Pomalingo, who also acts as regent of Gorontalo, said that various activities would be held at the event, such as coconut products and culinary expo from all the coconut producing regions, the selection of Miss Coconut Indonesia, as well as creative art and industrial exhibition from coconut. In addition to those events, some other activities will also be held by committees, such as the planning of Indonesian Mini Coconut Park, seminar, establishment of Karangasem as the international coconut ecotourism region, and tour program to several tourism destinations. The last item, the performance of Reog Ponorogo, which is the cultural heritage of East Java Province, in the National Multicultural Festival 2019, successfully fascinated Canberra people in Australia. Based on the press statement of the Indonesian Embassy in Canberra received by Antara in Jakarta on Sunday, the Reog Ponorogo dance was performed by a Singo Budoyo Mudo Reog Ponorogo team, which was invited by the Indonesian Education and Culture Ministry. In addition to Reog, other dances and costumes from Papua Province which reflect the theme of unity in diversity were also showcased of the event. The dances and costume exhibition were performed by delegates from Indonesia, Indonesian students in Canberra, and staffs of the Indonesian Embassy in Canberra. Indonesia also participated in the parade, which was carried out along the London Circuit Street located in Canberra City. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The topic of today's commentary is second debate for presidential candidates. The second debate on the presidential candidates who will compete in the upcoming presidential and vice presidential election on April 17, 2019 is over. Unlike the first debate, which took place on January 17, the second one that took place at the Sultan Hotel in Jakarta on Sunday night, only presented presidential candidates number 01 Joko Widodo and presidential candidate number 02 Prabowo Subianto. In addition, the General Election Commission KPU as the organizer of the election and debate over the presidential candidates did not provide a list of questions to the two presidential candidates. The second debate began with the delivery of the vision and mission of the two presidential candidates. Then the two candidates were asked to take lottery questions about the SEC teams, energy, food, infrastructure, environment, and natural resources. In the question about the food, Prabowo promised to guarantee food availability at affordable prices. In addition, he also promised to reduce electricity prices and prices of staple foods and promised to prepare the fertilizer needed by farmers. Meanwhile, presidential candidate Joko Widodo emphasized the importance of infrastructure for the future of Indonesia so that he will be consistent in the continuing to build infrastructure if he is re-elected as the president of the 2019-2024 period. In addition to answering questions prepared by 8 panelists consisting of academics, the presidential candidates also asked questions that were answered by the arguments of each presidential candidate. The atmosphere of the presidential candidates' debate seems different than the first one. The two presidential candidates were able to refrain from attacking each other so as not to create tension between the presidential candidates and the supporters of the two presidential candidates. There are still 3 more debates, namely on 17th March between two presidential candidates, namely Maruf Amin and Sandiaga Uno, on March 30, 2019, between presidential candidate Joko Widodo and Prabowo Subianto. And the final debate has not been determined between presidential and prospective candidates, Vice President Joko Widodo, Maruf Amin, and Prabowo Subianto, Sandiaga Uno. The General Election Commission has also set a 13th debate, namely education, health, environment, and social and cultural matters. Therefore, debate will be themed ideology, government, defense, and security, and international relations, and the theme of the final debate is economic and social welfare, finance and investment, and trade and industry. Hopefully, the next debate will also run smoothly, safely, and conducively until the general election takes place on April 17, 2019. Listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Our regular program today in history starts from an event on February 18, 1932, when Japan established puppet state Manchukuo in the northeast China. Creation of Manchukuo or Manchuria on Japanese support finally became conflict subject among China, Japan, and Soviet Union, including control on railway in South Manchuria by Japan. After Japanese invasion on Manchuria in 1931, Japanese military moved to separate the territory from Chinese control and planned to establish puppet state that allied with Japan. On February 18, 1932, Manchu state was proclaimed by Japan. On September 15, 1932, through Japan-Manchukuo Protocol. The next event was in 1943, Goebbels on propaganda minister of Hitler. As a propagandist, Goebbels was honored by scientists. He was considered as pioneer and developer of modern propaganda technique. According to him, accurate technique as a result of his skill is given a name, Big Lee technique. By using film and shortwave radio, which was able to reach various countries, he spread out Nazis' doctrine. Even on February 18, 1943, he echoed total propaganda war to increase morale of German force in the battlefield. Goebbels also became the third most popular person in Germany after the Führer and Martin Bormann. The last event was in 2005 on hostage of Metro TV journalists in Iraq. Two journalists of Metro TV station, Mutia Hafid and cameraman Budianto, when on duty, were kidnapped and taken hostage in Iraq on February 18, 2005 by a number of armed men. Metro TV last contact with Mutia was on February 15. After carrying out negotiation with hostage taker, which was assisted by local security, the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry and Metro TV Party, finally, Mutia and Hafid Budianto were released on February 21, 2005. Listener, that was Today in History.
Aku tak mengerti apa yang ku rasa. Rindu yang tak pernah begitu hebatnya.
Baru ku sadar kata keajaiban hingga akhirnya kau pun mau. Aku mencintaimu lebih dari yang kau tahu. Meski kau takkan pernah tahu. Baruku sadari cintaku berdebar sebelah.
That was the first song entitled Pupus by Dewa. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Today's edition, we will give information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program My Indonesia. The title of My Indonesia today is Indonesia and Eurasia Agree to Increase Economic Relations. Indonesia Minister of Trade Enggar Tiasto Lukita signed a joint ministerial statement with Minister of Integration and Macroeconomics of the Eurasian Economic Commission, EEC, Tatiana Falavoia, in Jakarta on last Thursday. This is the stage towards the signing of Memorandum of Cooperation later this year between Indonesia and five European countries, namely Armenia, Belarus, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, and Russia. Minister Enggar Tiasto Lukita, after the signing, as reported by Antara News Agency, said the economic cooperation with Eurasia cannot directly link to the Free Trade Agreement FTA seemed, because they have certain procedures and standards so that the Memorandum of Cooperation becomes an agreed matter. He is optimistic that with the Memorandum of Cooperation, the flow of trade between Indonesia and Eurasia, which currently reaches $2.79 billion, will double in less than 5 years. He hoped that the signing of the Memorandum of Cooperation and Business Forum could be held in the second quarter of this year. After the signing of the Memorandum of Cooperation, information will be exchanged to get to know each other's products and market more deeply in a meeting between business people of both countries. According to Minister Enggartiasto, Eurasia has a large potential market for Indonesia. The Indonesian flagship products to Eurasia are crude palm oil, CPO, coffee, rubber, food products, and furniture. Meanwhile, products from Eurasia imported by Indonesia are aluminium, alloy, and fertilizer. Minister Enggartiasto Lukita explained basically Indonesia and Eurasia products complement each other. They had advanced technology for several things, but they also need some raw materials as basic needs. He also pointed out that crude palm oil is a commodity that has a great potential to be exported to Eurasia, especially Russia. Through the Memorandum of Cooperation, Indonesian domestic industry can directly send their products to five Eurasian Economic Commission EEC countries through a single process. So this really opens the door of Indonesia to increase trade transactions. Meanwhile, Minister of Integration and Macroeconomics of the Eurasian Economic Commission, Tatiana Falofaya, said that Eurasia hoped that an increase in economic cooperation could be achieved this year. Falofaya also explained this meeting as a follow-up to a previous one, which took place in December 2017. She said that so far Eurasia has sent a number of products to Indonesia, such as food. In the future, she hopes to be able to fill the products that have not been found in Indonesian markets, such as machinery and equipment. While listening, that's my Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Saat menjelang hari-hari bahagiamu, aku memilih untuk diam dalam sepiku. Saat mereka tertawa di atas pedihku tentang cintaku yang telah pergi tinggalkanku. Aku tak peduli, sungguh tak peduli, inilah jalan hidupku. Ini aku, kau genggam hatiku, simpan di dalam lubuk hatimu. Tak tersisa untuk diriku, habis semua rasa di dada. Selamat tinggal, kisah tak berujung. Kini ku kan berhenti berharap. Perpisahan kali ini untukku akan menjadi kisah sedih yang tak berujung. Sampai
second song entitled Sedita Berujung by Grand Ferdi. You still tune the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom. Listener, in today's Indonesian Wonder, we will invite you to visit West Papua to have a look at Teluk Cendrawasih National Park. Teluk Cendrawasih National Park is located in Teluk Wondama Regency, West Papua. To get access to the park, you can use airplane to Biak, and the trip is continued by plane to Manokwari, and then you use a long boat to one of the islands, including a national park area, namely Rubber Pond Island. It takes around 5.5 hours. Rubber Pond Island is the location of animal observation, especially bird and breeding of deer. From the island, you can do marine activities such as diving or snorkeling to enjoy the undersea beauty surrounding the island. Besides Rubber Pond Island, you can also visit other islands which include in Teluk Cendrawasih National Park area, such as Nuswari, Ruun, and Yoo. These islands present beautiful diving spots. In addition, there is also Mioswar Island that presents hot spring which can relieve your fatigue during going around the park. Cendrawasih National Park becomes a home for more than 500 species of coral reefs, 950 species of fish, and some population of fauna, such as whale shark, mermaid, Nepalian race, turtle, and some other sharks. Because there are a lot of species which live in the bay, Worldwide Foundation of Indonesia uses Guarono Bintang ship to educate local people who depend on daily life from the sea around this beach. The local people are educated on how to maintain the coral reefs and address the contaminated water that becomes habitat of hundreds of species of fish in the waters of the park. Listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
Dalam langkah kau pernah sendiri, pencipta pertemukan kita lagi. Amarah ada, telah padam sudah, sukacita ada dalam kita. Berlayar menuju tujuan yang telah pasti, berlabuh untuk satu dalam cinta di sini. Berdua kita arungi kehidupan yang harus dijalani. Terlatih kita dalam kasih, apapun cinta itu ada dalam kita. Berlayar menuju tujuan yang telah pasti, berlabuh bersatu dalam cinta di sini. Berdua kita arungi kehidupan yang harus dijalani. Berlatih kita dalam kasih, apapun yang terjadi, setia pada terjadi setia pada janji.
Listener, you have just listened to the third song entitled Untuk Satu, sung by Andita Salahita and Barry Likumahua. For the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program Let's Speak Indonesian or Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabulary and expressions, and we will also invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio, introducing some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency and Cultivation at the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Fasilitas Hotel or Hotel Facility. Next is a conversation about Fasilitas Hotel or, in English, Hotel Facility. Tony wants to open internet at the hotel and he tries to use Wi-Fi facility, but it is not connected. Tony asks the receptionist by phone from his room.
Selamat sore, dengan resepsionis, ada yang bisa kami bantu?
Sore mbak, laptop saya tidak dapat terhubung ke Wi-Fi.
Baik pak, silakan pilih jaringan Mutiara.
Baik, lalu apa kata sandinya?
Kata sandinya, tamu hotel.
Apakah ada spasi antara tamu dan hotel?
Tidak pak, tamu hotel ditulis dalam satu kata.
Oh, sudah bisa mbak, terima kasih.
Sama-sama pak.
As usual, After the conversation, I'll introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Laptop saya tidak dapat terhubung ke Wi-Fi. Laptop saya tidak dapat terhubung ke Wi-Fi. In English, my laptop cannot connect to Wi-Fi. Silakan pilih jaringan mutiara. Silakan pilih jaringan mutiara. In English, please choose mutiara network. Apa kata sandinya? Apa kata sandinya? What is the password? Kata sandi. Kata sandi. Password. Tanpa spasi. Tanpa spasi. No space. Apakah ada spasi antara A dan B? Apakah ada spasi antara A dan B? In English, is there a space between A and B? Pakai spasi atau tidak? Pakai spasi atau tidak? In English, using space or not? When you are in a hotel or other public places, you may have problems such as you cannot use Wi-Fi facility because you do not know the password. To know the password, usually someone asks the receptionist as saying, apa kata sandinya? Apa kata sandinya? Or, kata sandinya apa? Kata sandinya apa? In English, what is the password? If you want to know whether there is a Wi-Fi facility at hotel or other places, you can say, apakah di sini ada Wi-Fi? In English, is there a Wi-Fi facility here? Now, about the writing of the password, you can clarify to an officer by saying, apakah ada spasi antara dan blah blah blah, or pakai spasi atau tidak. In English, is there a space between the word blah 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 and blah blah blah? Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for more details, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Selamat sore, dengan resepsionis, ada yang bisa kami bantu?
Sore mbak, laptop saya tidak dapat terhubung ke Wi-Fi.
Baik pak, silakan pilih jaringan mutiara.
Baik, lalu apa kata sandinya?
Kata sandinya, tamu hotel.
Apakah ada spasi antara tamu dan hotel?
Tidak, Pak. Tamu hotel ditulis dalam satu kata.
Oh, sudah bisa, Mbak. Terima kasih.
Sama-sama, Pak.
Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. A lesson in Bahasa Indonesia on the radio. Hopefully, this edition has been helpful to those who want to know about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow for more interesting topics. Sampai jumpa. Yeah.
That was the first song entitled Bukan Punjangga by Bass Jam. A listener, you still tune the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Dan gelisah menunggu di sini di sudut sekolah tempat yang kau janjikan ingin jumpa denganku walau mencuri waktu berdusta pada guru malu aku malu pada semut merah yang berbaris di dinding menatapku curiga seakan penutannya sedang apa di sini menanti pacar jawabku sungguh aneh tapi nyata takkan terlupa kisah kasih di sekolah dengan si dia tiada masa paling indah masa-masa di sekolah tiada kisah paling indah kisah kasih di sekolah aku malu pada semut merah yang berbaris di dinding menatapku curiga seakan penuh tanya sedang apa di sini menanti pacar jauh sungguh aneh tapi nyata takkan terlupa kisah kasih di sekolah dengan si dia tiada masa paling indah masa-masa di sekolah tiada kisah paling kisah kasih di sekolah tiada masa paling indah masa-masa di sekolah tiada kisah paling indah kisah kasih di sekolah. Masa-masa paling indah kasih di sekolah
listener, that was our song entitled Kisah Kasih di Sekolah, song by Krisha.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, we present a Kroncong song from Mamik Marsudi. Prang Sitoresmi, or better known as Mamik Marsudi, is an Indonesian female singer who has nice and melancholic voice. However, she actually known as a dancer in the entertainment world. Dancing and singing Kroncong songs has led her to various countries as ambassador of cultural missions. Mamik Marsudi learned Kroncong songs from the tapes brought by her husband Marsudi. She tried to sing the songs and began to join some Kroncong competitions. After successfully winning the competition, Mamik joined in a Kroncong orchestra so that her ability to sing Kroncong more and more increased. Well, listener, now we present you to Langgam Kerinduan by Mamik Marsudi. Enjoy the song. You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, thank you for listening to our English program on Voice of Indonesia. Please give us your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fanpage The Voice of Indonesia or Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at @voiindonesia, and also you can send your criticism or suggestions through our email address on voi@voinews.id.